The Wisconsin Senate approved a bill banning students from using cell phones in public schools. It now heads to Governor Tony Evers' desk, but it's not clear if he'll sign it. It's Wednesday, October 15th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, in a first for the tribe, the St. Croix Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin released lake sturgeon into a lake on their reservation. And people gathered in Milwaukee County to honor slain conservative activist Charlie Kirk on the same day he was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
A bill banning public school students from using cell phones in the classroom has passed the state Senate. As Rich Kramer reports, with some Democrats still opposing the bill, it's unclear whether Governor Tony Evers will sign it.
The bill would require school boards to prohibit students from using cell phones, tablets, and laptops in classrooms. During the Senate's floor session Tuesday, a handful of Democrats opposed the measure. Senator Melissa Ratcliffe of Cottage Grove said it strips local control.
The state is telling our school districts that they have to do this, rather than letting each school district decide what is best for them.
Republican Senator Rachel Cabral Gravera of Appleton said other states have banned cell phones in school and questioned why it's a partisan issue in Wisconsin.
When we look at polling, Wisconsin wants this. Wisconsin is asking for this. Marquette poll came out. It was 89% of Wisconsinites are asking that this be done.
The bill now heads to Evers' desk. A spokesperson did not immediately comment on whether he'd sign it. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
An assembly session yesterday focused mainly on tough-on-crime legislation, like increasing penalties for human traffickers. But Democrats leveraged that theme by trying to force a vote about releasing files related to deceased human trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. They wrote an amendment that would require the governor to call for the release of the files and tacked it onto an unrelated bill. As Democrats rose to speak on the proposal, Republican Kevin Peterson, the assembly's presiding officer, told them they were out of order.
Representative from the 26th, did Jeffrey Epstein do this in Wisconsin? The point of order is on a bill in Wisconsin, not national.
The Epstein files have been the subject of a battle in Congress for months. Democrats and some Republicans have called for the U.S. Department of Justice to make public its investigation into Epstein and his associates. For the first time in its history, the St. Croix Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin released lake sturgeon into Clam Lake on the tribe's reservation. As Danielle Kading reports, it's part of efforts to restore the ancient fish.
There they go.
Members of the St. Croix tribe and surrounding community stocked around 400 sturgeon into Clam Lake. The tribe has been working for years to reach this milestone. Lake sturgeon are an ancient species that can be traced back at least 150 million years to roughly the same time dinosaurs roamed the earth. St. Croix Tribal Chairman Conrad St. John says sturgeon are culturally significant to the tribe, which members harvest on a nearby lake each spring.
In order to keep those harvesting efforts available and an option for tribal members, we'd like to restore the resources, you know, keep them plentiful for many generations to come.
Tribal officials say they will continue stocking the lake for more than 20 years. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Republican Party of Milwaukee celebrated the life of slain conservative activist Charlie Kirk yesterday in St. Francis. About 200 people attended the event, which coincided with the National Day of Remembrance for Kirk on what would have been his 32nd birthday. Kirk was assassinated last month while speaking at Utah Valley University. Aspen Miller is still emotional while talking about Kirk, The Wauwatosa resident says she felt like he embodied the values that she hopes to emulate.
He promoted really good values for families, and he walked in love and kindness, and he believed what he said, and he was fearless.
Across Wisconsin, communities have been holding memorial events for Kirk since he was killed. State lawmakers also passed a joint resolution to honor Kirk yesterday. A new documentary follows a group of Japanese Packers superfans as they make a trek across the world to see the green and gold in action at Lambeau Field. The film No Packers, No Life shows how an NFL team thousands of miles away, across more than a dozen timelines, won the hearts of a group of dedicated Packers diehard fans in the heart of Tokyo. The group is called the Japanese Packers Cheering Team. They made the trip from Japan's capital to Titletown in 2017 after a chance run-in with Wisconsin native Ty Morse. Morse joined Wisconsin today ahead of the film's world premiere that's happening today at Marcus Majestic Cinema in Waukesha. He told host Kate Archer Kent about the chance encounter that's led to lifelong friendships.
Can you put into words how much love there is for the Packers in Japan?
That's hard to do. It took us 7 years to even fit it into a documentary. It's immense. It's as vast as the Pacific Ocean. These people love the Packers. So I think the love is still growing. It's just, you know, there's such a deep passion, and culturally, they hold so much in all the time, in their society. So it's just a massive outpouring of passion, that, you know, comes in a very unique, it's very unique because of the culture, how much it comes flowing out at one time.
Why do you think the spirit is so infectious and just so that really translates to people in Japan?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. I think one, you know, the Green Bay Packers are a special team. So that creates a special allegiance because they're the team of the people. They're owned by the people. And that's very, very unique. And I think the Japanese have seen this uniqueness, and they love that concept. But also, you know, the people of Wisconsin are very passionate and loving. And, you know, they saw on TV, watching TV from Japan, wow, this team's owned by the people. These people just have their own passion that's infectious in Wisconsin. And that translated to, you know, an opening for these people in Japan to, you know, build this desire to become a part of something like that. Mm-hmm. And through their connection with the team and the people, they started just letting their passion fly.
Ty, you mentioned this emphasis on culture in the film, and several members of the Japanese cheering team said that Packers fandom is really a way to express affection and spend time together. And I want to take a listen to this husband and wife in the doc who really bonded over the Packers.
We went to the American football game in Japan as a first date.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the first date.
And you didn't know football at the time?
No, not at all. I didn't know the rule. Yeah. But he taught me very kindly. And he explained a lot.
Ty, how do the Packers bind people together and in relationships? What can you tell us about this couple?
Well, the couple's absolutely amazing. And I think, you know, everybody in a relationship has a story of how they come together. And I think that their story focusing around Packer football is beautiful. And I don't think that, you know, obviously this can happen around anything. But there again, there's something unique and special about the Packers being, you know, this super small market team in the middle of America, owned by the people. I think it's you know, charming was something, a word that they would use, our best translation, charming. And that, you know, things like that are charming, you know, they tend to bleed into our lives in wonderful ways. And so it's not, I'm not surprised that, you know, something like this magical moment for these people meeting could happen around a magical team that has a magical story with, you know, a magical fan base.
You can find this full interview with No Packers, No Life producer Ty Morse at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. Coming up, WPR's Alyssa Alleman tags along with a group that's methodically walking every street in Madison. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a group of walkers on a mission.
The Madison Methodical Meanderers has a goal. The members want to walk every street in Madison. WPR's Alyssa Alleman recently took a stroll with the group on the city's east side near the Yahara River.
The COVID-19 lockdown in 2020 led many people to discover the sacredness of a neighborhood stroll. Melinda Meringue took that a step further.
Well, I first came up with the idea to walk all of the streets in town during the pandemic when I was tired of walking all of the same streets over and over again in my neighborhood. And I decided, since I wasn't, you know, traveling, I wasn't really going anywhere, that I should start exploring deep instead of exploring wide.
This all started when she was living in California.
And then when I moved to Madison, I thought that it'd be a really great way to explore the city and learn more about this new city that I'm living in, and also to make friends, because, you know, I didn't really know anybody here.
So she started the Madison Methodical Meanderers.
So I would say, like, as far as the goal of literally walking every street in Madison, that's mostly me. I'm the weirdo that really wants to do that, and other people are like, I'll go with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't really care if I do or don't.
About 2 to 6 people meet up to walk once a week. The group explores a different area of the city each time, with Meringue mapping the 3 to 5 mile routes. Meringue has a special interest in this endeavor that goes beyond walking as just a hobby or exercise.
I make mapping software for a living, so this type of mapping exercise is something that I really enjoy nerding out over.
She follows the route through a tracking app on her phone.
I mean, using my company software for this project is kind of like using an aircraft carrier to go for a lazy afternoon boat ride on Lake Monona, but it's what I have, so, yeah. All right, this little road segment will be a boop, so we're just going to go to the end and come back. Boops are optional. We have this thing we call a boop, which is when we go to the end of a street and we go boop, and then we turn around and we come back. Because, like, if we want to literally walk every street, sometimes you have to backtrack.
Highlights of the walks often include animals.
That must be mom.
The micro bunny. We love seeing bunnies and turkeys. So if you ever see a pet in a window, point it out. Oh, what was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bopping and window pets. I don't know. What other terms do we have right here?
So there's these geese that swim up and down the river, like, every day. And yesterday they were having flying lessons, and it was really cute.
Cool.
They were like, flop, 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 flop.
The group also points out finds like maker stamps pressed into the sidewalks.
So that one says 2025 because it's brand new. But sometimes you can, like, tell the age of a neighborhood by finding the maker stamp on the sidewalk outside the houses.
I'm learning so much already.
So another thing we do is we always read plaques whenever we find plaques. And we like to read them dramatically. So, W.D. Curtis Mayer, John F. Icky. Really?
Do you have, like, a favorite area of town that you, like, find yourself coming back to, or?
I mean, of course I love these, like, beautiful old historic neighborhoods that have beautiful gardens and lake views and all that, but really, I can't think when I've ever been on a walk that I didn't find something enjoyable about, like, even the awful ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I always find something that is interesting to look at, or you see a pretty garden, or you see a fun pet or read an interesting plaque, or you just like see the way that the city's constructed, and I just find that fascinating. So
Meringue says she's walked about a quarter of Madison's streets as of the summer of 2025. She predicts it will take the group about 8 years to finish all of them.
WPR's Alyssa Allemand brought us that story on the Madison Methodical Meanderers. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast and find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, we'll end with a check of your forecast for today. Could see some rain in southern Wisconsin this morning, clearing across the state by this afternoon. High temperatures getting into the 50s today with a mix of sunshine and clouds. Overnight, still cloudy. Chance for a little rain here and there with lows in the 30s and 40s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.